You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast, tonight from the director of Grumpy Old Men, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your body?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Satan lives.
The year is won.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
Salutations, Brian.
Hello to you. Was that from the movie or something? Did I not come
no,
prepared?
No, I was just changing it up.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Now I don't look like an idiot, but now I do. Anyway, moving on. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Oh, hey. What's going on?
Welcome back.
It's been a long time coming.
Hey, I don't want to hear shit. This is your fault. Continue.
I was trying to figure out how many episodes. Was it two or three?
It was just two, I think.
Right? Oh, two? All right, okay.
It's just two.
You know, when you got lots of work going on, it's what are you going to do?
Not be here and make us all cry?
I'm sorry. I put baby in a corner.
Hey, Mike, nobody puts baby in a corner.
What a terrific film. Anyway, okay, we're not here to talk about that. And we also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey, and here we are talking about the 2003 How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. What a fucking mouthful of a title. But it's based on a book. What are you going to do?
Based on a book? Really?
Yeah.
That was based on an article? That was based on a blog? That was.
Where do you begin to talk about this film, Mike?
Let's go back to Donald Beatry, the director of Grumpy Old Men, which I, like, as we were opening this, I was like, oh, fuck, I should look up, what else has this director done? Because I fucking loved Grumpy Old Men when I was a kid. That was a staple in my household. And then this movie came out in 2003, and it hit me in all the right ways because young me fucking loved this movie. I don't know if it holds up. I really need some second opinions on this one, guys. Come on, because my nostalgia is working fucking overtime in this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't act like you didn't love this.
That's what I'm saying. I fucking loved it still. But I'm like, should I still love it? I'm not sure, actually.
No, it's crazy. It's one of those things, like when you have this like memory of watching something when you were younger, and it was like, holy shit, that's really great. And then you watch it now, and you're like, oh, man, is everyone going to be angry at me?
You just have to own it, okay?
Okay, here's what makes me feel actually pretty okay with still liking this movie. I was talking to my 16-year-old daughter yesterday, and I was like, hey, we're doing this movie on the podcast. And she's like, oh, my God, I love that movie. She's just, like, watched it, like, a week ago, just randomly on her own. She's like, it's a fantastic movie. I'm like, well, if the kids these days still like it, can't be that bad, right?
Yeah. Well, what's nice about it is that, you know, even though that Matthew McConaughey's character's a bit, you know, he's got a bet going, but overall, he's actually a pretty good dude, you know? I mean, he handles things pretty well as far as all the bullshit that he's put through, I think.
Well, he has to, because he has to make
Yeah, but at a certain point, you're like, hold on a minute, can't be dealing with this.
No, because he's talking about how much money, like, this is his job, his career, like,
at a certain point, he's like, I can stick anything out for a fucking week and a half, like, I don't care what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the problem with the movie, right? Like,
right.
So, like, their time together, is any of it real? Did they actually bond in any way, shape, or form? You know, and when you get to the end of it and they're, like, you know, supposed to be running off into the sunset, it just feels like, I don't know, they're just getting started and they don't even know each other. Yeah. It feels like they're on their first date again.
Well, I think they have maybe two real moments of bonding where they're both actually being themselves. And yeah, so it has only been 10 days. They don't know each other.
That is not any amount of time at all. Yeah, which the movie goes out of its way to emphasize how apparently normal this is supposed to be, because Catherine Hahn's amazing character, like, she's distraught and in bed and is gonna miss a fucking meeting at work because she dated a dude for a week. Like, they really, really
normal.
Try hard to, I know, but they're like, this is what the loser woman does.
Yeah, okay, but like, that's correct. There are people who do that, men and women. There are people who do that.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know that it's, I hope it's not normal though. But yeah, I liked that though, that they're like, you know, her two friends are like, this is ridiculous. You haven't known him that long.
Yeah. It was an amazing 7 days. I love Catherine Hahn in this movie, man. She's glorious. They try to make her so, like, derpy and stuff, and she's still, like, really, really fucking cute though. Like, it's fun.
I do think she shines, especially when she's pretending to be the therapist. That was my favorite moment.
Oh, tell me about that.
That was good.
You owe me $300.
What? I mean, like, $300? He got the great Frost Yourself slogan. I mean, he should be happy.
Yeah, that's worth at least $300. Yeah.
He should be paying all of them, honestly.
That's a terrible slogan.
It's so bad.
I mean, it's like really bad. I feel like it's like the thing that struggles the most with this film is the fucking writing. The opening scene, I struggled with that so much just because the setup, like, dialogue was just so, like, basic and terrible. And the actors
mean, when
were
she's
doing.
Like, I want to write about something that's meaningful.
Yeah,
like,
all the actors are doing the best that they can with what
they
have. But the setup of it all is so bad. Yeah, and then even like the Frost blimpy. Yourself, that's the best thing you could come up with. It sounds like that's what you're talking about when you fucking put cum on someone's face. I'm gonna frost you, girl. Like that. All of that's so fucking terrible. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
The porn slogan, frost yourself.
It's a fucking porn slogan. Yeah. So I don't know. It's hard to take a lot of it seriously, and I know it's supposed to be a romantic comedy, but like, it's hard to get past the bad parts. But they really do shine as a couple, so it actually makes it endearing at times, you know?
I had a similar reaction where there is a lot that I struggled with, but they are really great actors, and they do have a lot of chemistry, and there's a lot to like here also.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, like, the whole opening setup made me very upset.
Yes.
But at some point, and like a lot of it, I think if it were any other actors, a lot of it would not work. And I think somehow they do actually pull it off. I was actually really surprised by that.
What are some of the things that you feel like wouldn't have worked if they didn't have like the chemistry that they did, or the believability in what their, I don't know, convincingness or something?
Oh, well, I just wouldn't like them as people.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I suppose, like, at some point, I'm like, God, okay, I guess, like, they're not horrible human beings who are just being horrible to each other, which they kind of are, but, like, they're kind of not. Like, okay, like, maybe they're both okay people, you know? And Andy's boss, I forget the actress, but she's fantastic. Oh. But I don't think any other, I don't know of another actress that could pull it off the way she did, where
that's
she's so kind of
Frasier. Like, yeah, you know, that's Lilith, and she's incredible.
She's incredible, but she's so cutthroat, and she's so dismissive. But in it, somehow it's endearing when she is doing it.
Yeah, she plays that role really well.
Yeah.
Well, they 5 is too short, and we go to press in 11. That's why it's 10 days. Cool. Got it. All right.
I like when she pops up, and then when she like leaves, the other coworker's like, God, I hate when she just pops in like that. She's just like, hey, I'm still here.
Take smaller bites.
Yeah, take smaller bites. Andy. They're just like tearing that sandwich up.
Oh my God. It was such a throwback to kind of remember like diet culture.
And yeah, yeah.
Just a lot of things that were around in the early aughts that again would not fly necessarily today. And it was interesting to see all of that again.
Yeah, they make fun of vegans. They're like, you know, how terrible the food.
I think people still do that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, we still do that, Jared.
Oh, we still do that? Okay, yeah. Good.
All right. We, Brian.
It's okay.
Yeah, the whole scene where he's like making his fucking lamb that's supposed to be like the greatest thing ever.
Poor and
bastard. So much of that scene just lives rent-free in my brain, like all his little like preparation things where he's just like not even paying attention. Like, this is the second time you've seen this woman and she's in your apartment and you're not like paying attention to where she is or like, let's get her a drink or sit on the couch or something. You're just like focused. Yeah, okay.
You know, for me personally, there was no amount of charm that these two actors could have brought to either one of these roles. I found both of these characters to be absolutely unlikable, and I hated watching them.
Wow.
I wanted terrible things to happen to them, and I was, just wanted the worst for them.
I think they got it, though. I don't know that they're happy people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they ended up together, so, like, yeah, that's clearly... Like, even at the end of the movie where Matthew McConaughey is like, stop, don't go off and chase your dreams. You can be a rider anywhere. You can ride anywhere, girl. Come with me to Texas and ride.
That whole storyline, her entire storyline is so ridiculous because she works at Composure, which I'm assuming is meant to be like a Cosmo knockoff. And she's like, I want to write about world hunger. And it's like, girl, you totally can, but probably not there. And actually they do.
World hunger.
I mean, honestly, like even the girly mags do have... usually some level of politics, but if that's not your column, like you're taking like you know like that's someone else's job, you have to like, it's still a job that you have to like apply for. You can't just turn your column into this. And then the way that they made it seem like, oh, but it's because she's a serious woman, I was like, I did not enjoy any of that.
That was the weakest part. You know, you could write anything you want about, you know, the seasonal lipstick colors.
Like, I did like that part.
Shoes.
It's really more of a light breeze. Let it take you. But it's true. Who does she think she works for? Like, that's not going to fly. Right. They're not going to print that.
Like, what did you think you were getting when you applied for that job in the first place and accepted that position? Like,
and that's the other thing, too. Yeah. Ugh, all the people around them are evil. Like, everybody is getting such joy from other people's fucking heartbreak. It's like, not fun. I didn't enjoy it.
As someone who has been recently watching a spat of shows where everyone is evil and they're all trying to hurt each other, this is very lighthearted and they are more likable than, I would say, some that's modern day equivalents.
Well, I mean, if they would actually be evil and focus on that, that would be interesting. But the way this movie just like plays everything off and goes into like rom-com the minute they go visit the family.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
It's kind of insulting. And I hate Kate Hudson's character. And like, God, Kate Hudson's so wonderful and she's got a great smile. And she's so charismatic. Like, how do you make somebody hate her? But that's how terrible her character is when she's like literally goes and buys a dog or rescues this dog and gives it to Matthew McConaughey. I'm done with her. I'm fucking done with her. Her whole plan is, I'm going to dump this guy in 10 days and I'm just going to, this guy I don't even know, I've known for 3 days, I'm just going to give him this dog. She's just treating it like a toy, and the way she walks in it with her fucking, I know she's trying to be a terrible person, but the way she walks in with the dog in her purse, I want to punch her in the face.
That was very trendy at the time. Come on, Brian.
It was. Very
I know
trendy,
it's very
actually,
very
yeah.
Paris Hilton. I know. I just wanted to.
Don't she's be trying... upset that your dog doesn't fit in your purse, because you know you would totally do that.
You just need a bigger purse, Brian. You just need to believe in yourself.
That's all it is.
I get a backpack, okay? Or a stroller, actually.
It is pretty hardcore to bring another being into the mix, you know. Like, it'd be different, like, you know, like Brian and I talked about this before, but different if they'd have set up a whole scene that we're borrowing our friend's dog
Like, yeah.
Hey, I need to introduce this dog into this situation.
That's fun. That would have been really
instead
fun.
Of just like, I'm going to buy this dog. And then what happens after the relationship? Do you just fucking, who gets the dog?
Matthew McConaughey.
He kept it.
He's going to take it?
He definitely kept the dog.
He kept it. Yeah. There's a scene where he shows
what if he didn't want to? You know?
There's the whole thing. He's like, you and me, Carl.
Like, she's expecting him to break up with her. So after that, what's the dog going to do? When she's expecting him to be like, fuck you, come get your dog.
It's only been a couple of days. She's probably can just probably return it.
You
but,
can return a dog?
Yeah, it depends on where you get
They're
it.
They're not
from.
Like babies.
Not that dog. That's an expensive ass dog.
Yeah, you can return it though. Anyway, there's a bunch of deleted scenes. I definitely did not watch all of them. And I'm trying now because there is a scene
where they buy it. Yeah.
I don't remember what it is though. That we're talking about it.
They buy it together?
She buys it with her friend.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
And do they have a discussion about who's going to take the dog after this?
No, they do not.
See, that's fucked up.
They do not. In fact,
no, because they're not as woke then. Like, this is not a conversation that they would have had in any movie.
No, it's just a dog.
Whatever. Fucking old yellers from the fucking 60s. We've had fucking goddamn.
I'm sorry, boy.
Our canine heartstrings have been pulled for decades, motherfuckers. God damn it. I grew up on Homeward Bound, all right? You can't fucking
damn straight.
Milo!
Just over that. Home is just over that hill.
Yeah.
No, but I do have to say, I've talked about this movie with a lot of people, and I have never once heard someone express concern for the dog. And so
really?
I appreciate this point of view, Brian.
I was fucking done with it. It was done.
I can tell.
It just broke the entire Ryan film for him. Fast. He's like, I can't watch this anymore. Like, this bitch has just ruined this entire thing. How dare you? How fucking dare you?
She already put her frosting all over the dog. What else is she going to do to him? Come on.
You people want to fuck up your own life, so that's fine. Leave this dog out of
it. Oh my gosh, that was one thing that I really noticed as an adult was when the two evil women were pitching with Matthew McConaughey. The whole time I was listening to them, I was like, they're right though. Like, there's no way that he would ever even get a meeting with these people because everything they're saying is correct.
Yeah, but they're so vindictive, Kristen. Do you see their little bitchy faces?
Yeah. They were dressed like men.
Everyone was acting like that at the beginning of the movie, first of all. And there's nothing wrong with... They're not dressed like... What are you talking about?
Yeah,
men?
They are the only females, them and the boss, and they wear collared shirts. Nobody else really does.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but all their outfits have, like...
I feel like you're reaching.
Little collars. No, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some attempt to distinguish them. And honestly, their characters were the ones I was most excited to like see how they held up, because in my mind from watching this like 15 years ago was probably the last time I saw it, was like, oh, these are supposed to be like the bitchy ones that are like manipulating things. And watching them this time around, I was like, actually, I'm kind of with those two.
Well, I mean,
thought
that
they... What? I thought that they knew about the article.
They did.
Oh, because they were playing the game from the beginning. They're like,
So they are the reason the narrative device actually like executes.
Right. Exactly.
I did actually think I thought they were fine like as actors, but I did think it was really interesting how they distinguished them as like having dark features and dark hair and dark makeup.
Yeah.
Especially contrasted when they're picking out Andy and she's like so blonde and like happy and like it was such a contrast.
Yeah, like
it was
soft
really
filters and gentle lighting and all the things on Andy, and she looks lovely and glowing.
And they're drinking champagne, and what is she drinking? Budweiser.
Yeah. Oh my God, they make such an effort to show how cool she is, and she's not like other girls.
That's right.
And
you like sports, Kristen.
Yeah, I know. She's
chicken sandwiches and burritos.
And she eats like a guy. She just stuffs her face with a hamburger and
hell
still
yeah.
effortlessly looks like that. I thought, again, it was very interesting to see early aughts portrayals.
While still somehow managing to make fun of like people who actually cared about what they're eating. Like,
I don't eat
meat. And then they go to the whole restaurant.
I just realized you guys might not be aware of the diet culture in the early aughts. So let me. We're coming fresh off the 90s where everyone heroin chic is in style. Everyone, the goal is to look like you're dead. Super, super, super skinny. And so in the aughts, you're slightly healthier, and by which I mean you look a little bit more alive, but you should not be eating. No, it was like a big deal for women to like eat hamburgers in the media, not in real life, obviously. But it was like, do you remember when Alicia Silverstone had like two slices of pizza and they called her fat girl in the, it's because it said a bat girl in the media. Like it was like a really big deal for women to eat in public. That's why Jennifer Lawrence, 10 years later, was like, oh my God, I love food. And it was like a big deal. And like now you're just like, duh, who doesn't? But like at the time, it was a big deal to eat food if you were a woman. So that is where that comes from in this.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see.
Girl, I'll cook for you and feed you. Shit.
Yeah. Hell yeah. What you want? I got a whole menu. Let's get it going.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey knows what's up, though. He's like...
Dude, he knows. Yeah. Did you see that glaze on that lamb? Oh.
That lamb was so perfectly...
It did look pretty good.
It did look good.
It did look good. I'm sure he didn't throw it away.
Hell no.
I'd eat it right in front of her. I'd be like, all right.
Imagine if she, like, made him toss it.
I don't know. Hopefully he put it in the refrigerator for later for sandwiches or something while they go eat, you know? Yeah.
What did you guys think of the Princess Sophia? And them kept calling his dick. They would say penis later, but in that scene specifically, Matthew McConaughey kept calling his dick my member.
His member.
My member. I hate that.
You can't name my member.
Seems like this... you can't address your own penis as a penis or a dick. It's got to be my member.
Well, I wondered if there was like a limit as to how often you could say the word and still get a PG-13 rating. That was my thought.
There's a limit on penis?
No
Well,
way.
I don't know about penis.
Oh,
Mike,
there's no limit on penis.
There is on TV. Wait, I don't know if there is
set it up,
now, but there at the time, there definitely was on TV. Because I remember...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
There
yeah.
was like a TV, the Grey's Anatomy had an episode where like a woman, what does she, like bite off his... penis or something.
Oh, you're talking Lorena Bobbitt? Like, she cut his dick off.
No,
threw it
that
out
was
window.
Like a real thing. But they did something in Grey's Anatomy, but beans. Like they couldn't say the word penis. Like, they could only say it once or something. And so the whole episode, they had to figure out different ways to refer to it. So maybe it was something like that in for this also.
It could be. Especially
they
just
definitely
to keep that rating.
Avoided saying the word penis.
I don't know. I've always felt like that scene was really like. Dudes are supposed to be weird about how they feel about their masculinity or whatever, and like
they are weird about their masculinity.
Yeah,
100%.
I think toxic men and toxic masculinity has a problem with it. But like, who fucking cares? Like, name it a goddamn woman and do something fun with it. Like, who gives a shit? Like, if you're that insecure about it, then maybe you don't need to be with this person who actually
dress
has
in a
like
skirt
fun
or whatever. I don't give a fuck
like,
as long
on.
As you're playing with it.
Yeah,
it's good.
Right. Exactly. Like, what are we really talking about here?
But okay. So like, if he doesn't want to talk about it, I think the comedy comes from him trying to spit the word penis out instead of saying member. That's not. You know what I mean? That's not like if you're going for a joke and that's the it's supposed to be the joke. Like. Have him have difficulty saying penis, and then that's funny because you're just saying the PG word, you know. My member sounds
it's
like
so old school and doesn't make sense in the situation, and it feels like you're being way too prudy at that moment for that.
Yeah,
like, I think that's the joke. I think that's the joke, though.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Also, you could call it Princess Sophia. Ain't gonna no. It's fine.
Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah, you want to see Princess Sophia? Here she's coming.
I think the joke comes though that this is just like one thing after the other. I don't know that this would be like a breaking point if she were
whatever.
Normal.
It stops them from having sex.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean? Well, yeah. I
no,
mean,
I'm saying it's one thing after the other. I don't think this is just the only thing that stops him from having sex. I think that is a series of events that makes him unattracted to her physically.
I don't know. They were going to go fine just before she said Princess Sophia, and then they stopped having, you know, they were going down the road of sex.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying I don't know if they would have gotten there necessarily. I don't know. Because after, like, that's the other thing is that the whole 10 days that they never had sex at all. he's doing all of, they're both doing all of this
no
together.
Wait, they
did
once.
One,
they
yeah.
did
yeah.
once.
Oh, this, okay. Yeah. It's when he, when they go do the family
doesn't
thing,
count the
like,
water
at his family's day. House, you know. But,
yeah, yeah. Fam- with yeah. them all, where everyone yeah. can hear everything there established.
No, that's good. No, that was good. I like that.
Shh, be quiet.
For the weekend, I'll fuck you right in front of my family.
That's right. I don't know you, girl. Come meet everybody. Yeah, you, shit, you've already reached out to my mom. You want this. Let's get it going.
Yep, yep. I ain't brought nobody else's home.
Hey, Ma, I fucked her upstairs. Bullshit or not.
And his dad's like, bullshit.
Uncle Arnold just walks over and puts a little another tally on his little
yeah. He's like, there it chalkboard. Is. Oh, never mind. You win, dog. You got it. You're the king.
I think the farting uncle was the only laugh out loud moment for me.
Oh, my God. That was one of the most, like, wow, this is very 2003 kind of moments. Like, there's, like, three different shots of where they cut to him and he just leans and there's, like, fart noises. Like,
oh, he's just farting constantly.
He's like, yeah. Oh, oh, eyebrows, fart
noise.
She's
sitting next to him, too. I'm like, oh, God, can I put me on the other side of the room?
But he looks very happy, you know? He does, yeah. So we're going to take a break. We're going to play the trailer for How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. We'll be back.
Hi, Andy Anderson from Composure Magazine.
Our resident how-to girl.
I want to write about things that matter.
What are you working on now?
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I could start by dating a guy and then drive him away. Doing everything girls do wrong in relationships.
I can sell myself to any woman.
I'd like to see you prove that.
You would.
Make a woman fall in love with you.
You're on.
So who's the lucky girl?
Her.
Her who?
Her in the gray dress.
Hi. I'm Benjamin Barry.
Andy Anderson.
Oh, you are already falling in love with me.
I'm gonna make you wish you were dead.
Hey!
Hey there.
Gang's all here. And all the girls dream that they'd be Ben's partner. They'd be Ben's partner.
No, no.
Used Photoshop to composite our faces together.
Oh, that's our wedding. You're the kids in Switzerland.
You're noodling.
Our kids are really attractive. So it's like a dog, right?
We're still on for poker at your house this weekend.
Ooh,
boys' night. You giving him a boys' night?
I
have to crack this guy. I mean, this is DEFCON 5.
Blow. Nobody likes a Mr. Sniffles.
Come on, Stevie.
It's over, man.
No, 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 no.
My boyfriend is a fan. I can't eat in front of you.
I don't think she's fat.
You, outside.
Oh, my God.
And after all this, he still didn't leave you?
Okay, he's just a little tougher than I thought.
Where's the sexy, cool, fun, smart, beautiful Andy that I knew?
He loves you.
Can I see you tomorrow?
This February.
Delivery, Andy.
Oh, my God.
A simple assignment that was supposed to last 10 days.
Oh, he's really cute.
Is turning into something.
Lana, I can't write this article.
That could last a lifetime.
I can't write it because it's just, I've gotten to know this guy.
You're beautiful.
You'll write the article. I want copy on my desk in 48 hours.
Where's Andy Anderson?
She's not here.
Paramount Pictures presents...
Andy!
Kate Hudson.
As the woman is driving me crazy.
Matthew McConaughey.
Say, it's good to talk to you, though, man.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
True or false? All is fair in love and war.
True.
Great answer.
Welcome back. That was the trailer for How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
It's a good trailer song.
That was I kind of hate that movie after that trailer. What the fuck?
What?
Dude, what the fuck? That
Hey now, hey now. Are you saying that was bad advertising and like it was leading up to something that didn't happen or
I don't know. Like that like if that's the way that you want to summarize this movie, like that feels very flat and bland and I don't know.
That was a summary of the movie. Wait, what are you talking about?
How would you summarize the movie? Mike, give us your trailer version.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Like this maybe summer. Maybe this movie. If this trailer is this movie, like fuck. I don't know. There's so many like endearing magical moments from this movie that like the trailer just doesn't capture. I guess I don't know. Maybe that's just my nostalgia. But also like I felt some of that when I watched it last week.
What are those moments that you're speaking of exactly, Griggs?
You right? I don't know.
No, don't
back up from it now.
I'm at a loss, honestly. Like I'm really not sure. like summarized that quickly, like all the pieces going that fast. Just it feels like I don't know, guys. I'm sorry. I'm totally losing articulation at this point.
So did the screenwriters, Mike.
That's fair.
They were definitely making one movie, and then like halfway through, they were like, "Holy shit, we got to do like fucking a rom com," and they definitely shoehorned that shit in at the end, and yeah, doesn't entirely work with itself.
They gave a couple of hints early on, but then you kind of lost it, and then yes, they forced it at the end.
Well, you knew it had to explode at some point. We had to like figure out. You know, each character had to figure out what was happening, you know, and.
Well, yeah, but honestly, even like that part of the movie felt one of the least forced moments of the whole thing. Like, because that we all knew that was the point of it. Like at some point, at some moment in the movie, you have to have this realization that they're both trying to fuck the other one over and while also still falling in love despite themselves and despite the whole thing. Like that is the crux of this movie. And the fact that that moment works in this movie says a lot about the actors and the ways that like everything kind of fit together with just their chemistry. But the fact that we don't really expect it to says a lot about the screenwriting, I think, and the way that they're setting all these tropes up.
Yeah. There's no like real cute moment where they fall in love. Like I guess their moment of realization is that
the shower sex scene.
Well, I mean, before then, right?
That's the cute moment where they fall in love.
They're like playing. They're playing bullshit with the family, and then he teaches her how to ride a bike, and then that leads to sex, right?
Hell yeah!
Which isn't that far off from what their first date was supposed to be.
I need something cuter, or like I need some kind of growth or something. It can't just be like, oh, he has a family. I have a family. You know, it's like Batman. It's like, wait, your mom's Martha? My mom's Martha. what are we doing? It's the same thing. It's just it's not very satisfying.
I think you just need more Keith Urban songs in your life, Brian.
That song was so bad, I couldn't finish the music video.
It was.
You tried to watch the music video?
Yeah, I forgot what the name of the song was. Someone or something. I forget what it is. But yeah, the music video
was it the type of music video where they take footage from the movie and they cut it in?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. With like Keith Urban, he's like out in like some kind of wheat field or I don't know.
Yeah, and it's cutting to scenes of the movie. Yeah, yeah. It's all slow.
Here we go from the country to the city and back and forth. And
it's like some really slow like country song, and he's just out there with
his
guitar.
Best one is Batman Forever with Seal, The Kiss from Rose.
All right, now I would watch that anytime ever.
Is fucking incredible.
That is.
That
spotlight in the background, the bat signal.
He's totally singing in front of the bat signal, bro. Yeah, like the actual where fucking like Commissioner Gordon stands. Yeah. Like he's standing right there singing.
That is
it's a different time, you know. Like you know that was a big. It's a big selling point. Like all those Will Smith movies, you know, we got to have all the footage from the movie while we have our song. You know.
Well, that's part of the tie-in, right?
Yeah, the marketing.
How
did this do at the box office? Is this a hit, or is this just something that circulated on HBO?
It was budgeted for $50 million, which is kind of insane, but it went on to make 105 domestic and 177 worldwide.
There you go.
So not a giant hit, but yeah, a hit.
All right.
We're still talking about it over 20 years later. So,
and I do think it's found a new audience since they just released it on whatever it's streaming on.
Paramount.
Yeah, people are watching it. Younger people are watching it and enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, watch any other Kate Hudson rom-com. I mean, really.
Watch the one with Zach Braff. That's Brian's favorite movie.
What was that one?
The only other Zach Braff movie that was directed by him outside of Garden State.
Well, I haven't seen this one.
What is that?
Really?
Wait. Is this that I Wish You Were Here?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Wish You Were Here? Yeah. So. Okay, that one was okay.
That sounds right.
Yeah. That's the one that Brian really hates because that's the one that was... crowdfunded.
Yeah, I refuse to watch it. It's not for you, Zach Braff. It's not for you. That's all I'm gonna say. All right, I'll let it go.
What did everyone think of that gold dress at the end, the yellow dress? That was my favorite.
Loved it. Yep, that classic. Was a great moment.
It highlighted how Jennifer Hudson has no ass.
Kate Hudson.
I think whatever.
Jennifer Hudson does have an ass, actually.
You know what? You're correct.
Yeah, you're right.
That dress, someone just made, I just got an advertisement for that dress, like, I don't know, a few days ago, because someone just made a knockoff of it.
Wow. Damn, it's that famous? You actually have people making knockoffs of this dress?
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people have made that. Yeah. I mean, at the time, I don't know that it was in stores necessarily, but now, yeah. Well, I don't know. I say that. Like, I was like a teenager and shopped at like Dillard's, so I don't know. Maybe it was in other places. And I did think it was really nice the way they used all of the diamonds at the end and how they had the diamonds match all the different necklaces, because I think diamonds can be so boring, and they really showcased what is possible if you have enough money.
Okay, I want to say something about that, because that was one of the big thoughts that I had watching it again this time around, because she has that fucking amazing dress, and she shows up to this party with no earrings and no necklace in that dress. Not like she takes them off because they're like going to give her the things. Like, she literally has no earrings on and no necklace wearing that dress. I'm like, no woman would be wearing a dress like this and not have like some fucking, like, she doesn't even have studs in. Like literally, give me a moment where she's like, let me take my current earring out to put this fucking diamond in. No, she's wearing no earrings and no necklace. And I'm like, no woman would be wearing that dress and also not be complete with their outfit. What the fuck?
Yeah, because it's, 'cause isn't she act surprised when he's like, you can go over there? Yeah, and she's like, what?
Oh,
yeah.
What? Oh, yeah. For me? Isadora. No. That's not my name. My name is, no. This is Isadora.
It's just, she's so normal that she just doesn't know these things, okay? She cares about sports and politics like a normal person, okay?
Sports and politics, but doesn't know that you wear fucking earrings with a dress like that? Come on, guys.
She's
what
not like
doing?
Other girls. She's cool,
oh,
okay?
Fuck off.
Well, she puts necklaces on the dog.
right. She puts fucking gold. She's got some goddamn diamonds on that dog, but she's not going to wear something to a party.
Hey, that dog's frosted.
Poor dog. The only thing that dog consumed in the entire movie was some beer that Matthew McConaughey put in a dish for it. You never see anybody buy dog food, do you? No.
This movie's a 1 out of 10 fucking animal cruelty.
I'm just saying, if you just take time to put it in the movie, goddamn, give me some payoff here.
Movie's already 2 fucking hours long, Brian. We couldn't do any more, okay?
Listen, even John Wick says, I'll get you some kibble in the morning. Like, we could have had something of the Matthew McConaughey variety of that. Come on.
This was at a time when you didn't need to explain everything. There were some things that you just understood.
Yeah, you know, your brain. Use it.
The more you
the dog is still alive. It's eating something, don't worry.
It's probably eating his shoes or something, or like leftover pizza crust when he's done with
poker
night.
Eating their love fern, their little
that's why he let it die.
He's like, I watered the love fern with the dog's piss, okay?
why not? It worked in Waterworld.
Oh, please don't, if anyone's listening, please don't do that, dear God. Because you do have to explain things now, so don't, please don't.
don't do that.
You know, can we talk about the true hero of the movie, the one character that I think is the entire highlight of the film? The only time in the movie where I really felt connected as an audience member, and that was crying guy in movie theater.
Yeah.
That was great.
Nobody screw with me. I'm going back to watch Sleepless in Seattle.
Hell yeah.
I identified with that guy
100%. Sleepless in Seattle is by far the superior movie. Can't hear and can't see.
So what are you thinking about? I really like
I'm
this movie.
I'm thinking about this movie. Who is she?
Oh, God damn it. This is over.
Right? That's some red flag shit right there. Like, oh, this is how we're going to go? Cool. Yeah,
I mean, you already know my rules with watching Netflix. We can talk or we can watch. I'm fine with either, but we can't do it both at the same time.
See, look, man, dog plus talking in movie, she's dead to me.
Yeah.
Fucking dead.
Oh, I did want to mention, so one of the things that's been making the rounds on social media, you guys didn't notice this, was her hair.
Her hair?
Because her hair starts off straight, and as she falls in love, it becomes curly because she's just so carefree and happy. Her hair is naturally curly. It's so frizzy at the beginning. I was actually really shocked that they let her go on screen with such frizzy hair, because even though her hair is curly, you can straighten it. But anyway, you guys didn't notice that, though, did you?
No, okay. I actually did, because I had a friend who also had similar hair to Kate Hudson. And like when she was just chill, it was like super curly. And when she would like fix it, it was straight. So like, I remember very specifically recognizing like a distinction in this of like, oh, here she is like letting herself fall in love and letting herself like be more whatever. And it's, oh, look, they're doing it with the hair and they're doing it with the costume. And she tries to be all super girly when she's like fucking around with him, and her hair's like really straight and tight and pulled back. And then when she's like the whole shower scene where she's in like that super comfy like t-shirt jeans situation thing, not the t-shirt, but like the whatever that was, the tank top, but she's like curly hair and they're just both so gentle and in love or whatever.
Yeah, and the scene where he rolls up on the motorcycle next to the cab, her hair's all fucking frizzy and crazy.
Yeah, because she's embracing herself and she's just like,
look at that,
doing her thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was lost on me, but I totally see it now that she pointed it out.
Yeah, I think my only complaint was at the very, very beginning when she's straightening her hair. You can fix those flyaways. Like, I'm really surprised that they let her on screen like that. That had to have been a choice, because the other women had straight hair. Like, there was stuff in it so that they didn't have flyaways. So it was clearly a choice for her to have flyaways, and I don't know what that would be.
I always kind of assumed the implication was like, she's not normally like this. Like, this is so outside of her character that like she doesn't even want to fix like the little things.
Oh.
Like, even though she changes like her outfit, like she wears those little like sundress type things, and she like has the little bows in her hair, and she does those like cutesy girl kind of types of things that in the other moments in the movie, like, she doesn't dress like that. Her hair is not styled that way. So it seems very purposefully like, let me do all the cliche things for the sake of like setting her own character up towards him while she's trying to, you know.
That makes sense. I was wondering if it was also maybe to distinguish her from the other women I'm so smart that I don't care about fixing my hair kind of thing. I care about politics.
Things that matter.
Yeah.
Because there's also a deleted scene at the very beginning when she's like talking to that model, and she like sneaks in her political article. Or no. She starts interviewing that model. She's like, you're actually from this war-torn country, and can I interview you about that? And suddenly they both turn into like very like intellectual women, which I'm not saying they're not, but I was like, it's just so out of place. It's, I don't know. It's so othering. I think I don't like it.
It's so terribly written. It's so forced and so
forced. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like how I write. What are you doing today? I'm doing plot point A. The family section had at least, that was my favorite writing.
It felt right at that point. It felt like we had like a nice rhythm and all the characters were popping, and you had these it felt like you actually had genuine moments and we were building towards something besides just trying to get to a punchline of a specific situation. Even though that we were throwing our characters that we spent with a little bit of time into a situation, but these moments felt real. It's because we actually had more interaction than just these little beats.
Well, yeah, I think the movie goes to great lengths to try and do that there, and like, to their credit, like that is the point. That is the crux of the movie, of them supposed to be like falling in love and realizing that like, hey, we are people outside of these personas that we're trying to show to each other.
Yeah, there's heart there.
Yeah. And I think the romantic in me wants to believe that that is the romantic in this movie, is that like all of us humans have things that we try to show to each other in order to like convince each other that we are lovable or loved or whatever. But it's the in-between moments. It's the moments when we let our guard down, when we actually are just our normal, natural selves, that we can actually have those connective moments. And that is probably where this movie still kind of hits those nostalgic things for me of like, yeah, no, they're still real people and they fall in love because they let themselves be real people in these kinds of moments. And that is, I think, what the movie tries to be for the most part of overall, and just doesn't always hit it. But there's enough pieces in there that it still kind of does it for me.
I mean, I'm wondering if a lot of the issues with this film would be because of when it came out and what it's portraying. And also at the time, like, there were the whole, like, let's bet on this person. That was popular at the time. Like, looking at it now, I'm like, this is crazy.
Okay, but it's not like She's All That, right? Where, like, that formula works in a very satisfying way in a rom-com because one person, right, is being the villain. One person's in the bet, and the other person, right, doesn't know about it. So the person that you're trying to win over makes you, the person that's winning the bet, grow. So we get to see character growth. And this one, we get to see two people be terrible, but we don't ever see them interact and grow as characters and change each other to make them better. Like all the other movies that we watched this month and even last, all of them have those moments. This one is like completely devoid of that, and it's not satisfying as an audience member. There's no raw moment. There's no emotional moment. Like, fuck, I was crying in Dirty Dancing. This movie is what? No, I didn't even get a fucking frog in the back of my throat. I didn't get choked up. I didn't get anything.
No, you were thinking about the dog.
Wait, when did you cry in Dirty Dancing?
Oh my God, what are you talking about? Nobody puts baby in the corner. I got a fucking goddamn. Oh my God.
Yeah, I told you. Did you not listen to the last episode?
I am starting to swell up from that moment on, Kristen. And by the time Patrick Swayze jumps off stage and looks back and we cut to Jennifer Grey and she smiles, I fucking lose my shit. There is a tear that runs down my goddamn cheek. And I'm like,
that
movie.
To me.
I love you.
Why is it funny? It's not fucking funny. It's just my little heart.
It's amazing.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you.
Yeah.
You have feelings. You're not dead inside, apparently.
Hey, I'm not dead inside. I'm cheering for them. I'm excited for them. I'm not crying. I'm not like, oh my God, how beautiful. No, I mean,
well, that's
I'm
how,
like,
that's
yeah,
how,
go for
that's
it.
How men celebrate. We're crying.
Oh, okay.
That's how we show our emotions.
That's how we show our emotions.
But those other films, there's always kind of growth, and that's why this one doesn't work. It takes that rom-com genre, that trope of like, let's play the bet, and it complicates it. It tries to like one up it in its plot by like, let's have both of them, man and woman, are now betting on different things. They're going against each other, but it doesn't do anything interesting with that character wise. And it starts to with the family, but even the family, like, once they're introduced, they don't come up at the end.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, they don't really belong at the party. So, I mean, where would you put them?
I don't know. But you know what? If I was directing this, I would be like, writer, where the fuck did the family go? And why are they only in one scene?
Yeah, they actually were great. They should have. But if you had them in more, like, that would change the movie. Well, I know that's what you want.
Well, that's the point. Like, that's the point. Like, let's have some tie-in. Let's have some emotional connection. Like, they even, like, what the fucking brother-in-law or whatever is a cop or something. Like, he could, like, be the reason why he can get across the bridge or why she has to stop. Like, that's not a difficult, like, let's shoehorn his character back in. He's a fucking police officer. Like,
you've obviously given it more thought than they did, Mike.
Yeah, I don't have enough time for that. Come on. No, like, he walks outside and he's like, oh, she's over there. I need to get her. Oh, here's my brother. Hey, can you be my police escort? Like, come on. Like, come
no,
on.
Look, you could lose all the stuff with like Kate Hudson's boss at the end where she's just running around the party going like, oh, yeah, she's writing an article about this dumbass that she's taking advantage of and breaking his heart. Isn't that hilarious? Like, we could just have one of those instead of the 12 that we got.
Well, that's Baby New Earth. We need to use her. We got her.
Well, then we need to write her some different dialogue.
Oh, well, the fucking movie is an hour and 56 minutes long, and it's too damn long.
It
I did not realize it was that long. I think it's fine.
Really? It felt like
it is so fucking long, Kristen.
Jeez.
I wanted to shoot myself in the face at an hour and 20 minutes.
All right. I think we've done it.
And on that note, Who's going first? Who's rating How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
I want to hear why Brian wants to shoot himself in the face.
It's all about the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's all about the dog. No, the dog is just like the whole... It highlights everything about this movie. It's like the family. It's like we're setting something up for a joke, but we don't really do anything with it. You know, it's like even mediocre comedies that were hits at their times, like fucking Meet the Parents. Like if we're gonna have the cat has a payoff in the story. There's a reason the cat's there. There's no reason this dog's here. You know, there's no reason this family's here. Mm. This shit could have been anything. It doesn't come back. It doesn't pay off. We're literally like setting things up and we're just letting them fucking hang. It's fucking really bad writing. Like, this is the kind of writing like I see all the time. This is the kind of writing that like I would do. And I hate reading. It's bad. It's terrible. And it stinks of like a lot of people making a lot of decisions and there's no one or two creative forces behind this narrative. It's just a bunch of cooks in the kitchen and it reeks of it. The direction is surprisingly good. I like the camera moves. I like the blocking a lot. It sucks this director had such a shitty script. Because he had great actors and, you know, I'm pretty happy with all the camera stuff. I'm pretty happy with even the performances. I just don't like these characters. I mean, Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson are not the problems here. What they're being asked to do is the problem. Hmm. So I think I'm going to come in at a 5, mediocre at best. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson's charm cannot save this movie. Who's going next?
I'm just going to jump in real quick because you echoed every fucking thing that I have to say as well. But I do think that, I mean, like I said, the very beginning, I struggled immediately because of the bad writing. That opening dialogue scene between Kate Hudson and her friend, it's so bad. It's the most base dialogue that you could ever throw that we have to tell this scene, and it's all exposition. And you know what? They do a really good job acting that scene out, you know, as far as with what they're working with, but it's just nothing, you know, the whole setup is really bad. But by the time we get Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey on screen together, there starts to be a little bit of a pop. And that's the only saving grace, are these little moments where we actually have great little chemistry. And that's what makes the movie worth watching. But I don't know, man, it's too fucking long. I'm also going to give it a 5. It's okay. Probably won't watch it again.
Damn. Okay. All right.
Kristen, hold on.
Mike, be strong, okay? Go with your gut.
All right. Real talk. Like, you guys are saying all the things that I've been, like, trying to articulate. What is it about this movie that just doesn't seem like it works? And you have some fair fucking points. The writing is terrible, and watching it again with modern eyes after 10 or 15 years or whatever it's been since I watched it last time, that opening scene, Jared, like you're talking about, I was like, oh my God, I want to write something that matters, like politics.
So bad.
And poverty. Like, what did a did a fucking seventh grader write this song? What? Something that matters, like politics.
So
not
trite.
Anyway, Jesus sorry. Christ. Yeah, there's a lot of tropes. There's a lot of trite dialogue. This movie is all right. I'll say it this way. This movie is a good example of making a decent fucking movie out of a shitty script. There's that phrase, you can make a great movie out of a great script, or you can make a terrible movie out of a great script, but you can't make a great movie out of a terrible script. That's a paraphrase. I said it terribly, but you know what I'm talking about.
That's what Benjamin Franklin said.
This movie is a way better movie than it deserves to be based on how shitty the script is. To me, that's kind of endearing about this film. I think there's enough endearing things between the characters. I like Kate Hudson. I like Matthew McConaughey. I like the supporting characters. The fucking supporting characters in this movie shine, and they are all way better than the movie ever deserves for them to be.
I like the way that like 2003 just kind of lives in some of those like smaller character kind of moments. I like New York in this movie. Like, this is a fun rom-com New York movie. Like, even with the stupid, like, cliche, let's go through all the fucking taxi cabs because we're not sure which cab she's in. Like, there's a, it's a stupid reason to go through that whole final scene. Like, she's leaving on an interview. Like, she's going to be gone for 2 days, dude. Like, this is not an urgent moment. Like, she'll be back, like, next weekend. It's fine. Like, you've known her for 10 days. She'll be gone for a third of that. It'll be fine. But you know what? The movie, like, needs it to be an intense moment. And so all the actors, like, deliver those kinds of moments. And it pulls on my heartstrings enough to still kind of enjoy the ride, even though there are so many unearned moments because of how terrible the script is. I'm going to give this movie a 6.5. It's still really fun. It was fun when it came out in 2003. There are things that hold up way better than they deserve to, and most of that is the actors and the characters and the general like filmmaking that went into it. This is just a shitty script and is quintessential for a rom-com situation. It's
6.5. You know, you said 6.5 and then you kind of just described an 8 to us, but you know.
Yeah, I feel like that was a really harsh rating. Just
7.5. Fuck there all of it you.
Is.
Jesus.
There it is. No, bro.
7.5, because I feel like if you want to go higher, it's okay. Like, it's
no,
fine.
No, 7.5.
I rate high on the things I love as well, bro.
It's that we all do.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson looks gorgeous in this movie.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
She's an 8.
She's great. When she does that little squinty, smiley eye thing.
Oh, she's so damn cute.
Melt my heart. Melt my fucking heart.
Okay, so I actually think it's interesting you said you liked New York in this because, yes, I know that there were a lot of, it was probably filmed in exterior New York, but everything felt like very Chicago to me. Ooh. To the point that there was like a moment where I was like, wait, Wait City is this set in again? Even down to like, maybe because she isn't like normal girls and like sports and like, I don't know, everything about it. And he works like everything about it, just even the settings that they chose, except for the end, like you would not have a gala like that in Chicago. But anyway, I think this movie is a bit dated. Yeah, the writing is bad. The writing is the weakest part of this whole thing. I think there are a lot of things that are dated in this also. That being said, and when it opened, I was very cranky. I did not like this movie. I was a little concerned that I would hate the whole thing. However, I think the actors are absolutely fantastic. And especially the minor characters, the side characters, are delightful to watch. I enjoyed a lot of the costume and makeup choices. I feel like we don't get pretty things to look at anymore. And I enjoyed nice things.
That's fair.
Is this like a masterpiece? Maybe not. I think it can be fun in the right setting. I can see that not everyone would enjoy it, but I think it has its moment. It certainly had its moment when it came out. I definitely enjoyed this when I was younger, and I think it's having a bit of a resurgence. So there is an audience for this somehow. The biggest critique I hear from young people who are watching it is that they want to see more of the best friend who's like crying all the time.
Catherine Hahn is the best.
Yeah, Catherine Hahn. She's in a lot of the deleted scenes. And so those are, I don't know, they enjoy that. Anyway, so there's definitely an audience for this. I don't know that I would like want to watch it again. I mean, at some point, maybe. Anyway, I don't know. I guess I will give it... I'll rate up and give it a 7. Yeah, I'll be generous. I think that's a generous rating. A 7. I'll give it a 7.
Kristen, do you like Matthew McConaughey? Is he kind of do it for you? Is that what's going on?
That's
is what that what I'm hearing here?
That's what it is.
Sometimes. At the time, he was super popular, and then he started doing all like this really weird stuff. So I don't know if I'm like him. And isn't he like super Christian and names his kid all the Bible characters? Is that him or somebody else?
I don't know what he names his kids, but I know he's religious. Yeah.
Yeah, he's super religious. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is he attractive? Absolutely. So is Kate Hudson. I think they're gorgeous together. I love them together. Yeah. No, I think if I had to pick a favorite character, it would be the boss. I love the boss so much in this. I think she's great. She reminds me of Edna in The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I hate Matthew McConaughey's boss. I want to punch that old man in the face.
No, not that guy. The other one, the lady.
I know who you're talking about. I'm just... the guy boss, like, when he goes up to her at the end and he's like, oh, do you love him? And then, yeah. You know, she's like, oh, he's like, yeah, you do. All right, good.
Yeah, he's gross.
Excellent. And he walks away and just like, you piece of shit motherfucker. Yeah. Just like walking in her face.
Disgusting. Yeah, he's really disgusting. But he starts off that way. I mean, the fact that he would even consider Matthew McConaughey's pitch when he has two women who like know exactly what they're doing and have brilliant ideas, like that tells you everything you need to know about him.
But Kristen, it was 2003 and those were women. Okay.
I think that would still happen today. Let's be very honest. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know things a man does.
Obviously, a man knows things, yes. Why would you have women at all?
Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson are charming together, but they can't overcome How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days' silly premise and predictable script. Mm. Rotten Tomatoes brings How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days... in with a 42% tomato meter.
Whoa.
And a 77% popcorn meter.
Oh, what a 77?
Okay. There you go. So, yeah.
All right. That's
it is popular. It is popular.
Wow, the critics were really lower than us.
People like pretty fluff, okay? Critics don't agree.
You get four. You get two. You get two for Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson. One because the movie looks pretty, and another one for the supporting cast. Good day, sir. I said good day.
Yes. Exactly.
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by finding us on Facebook or X. Definitely not Instagram. Because for some reason our account got blocked. I guess because we were posting movie posters. You know what?
We're boycotting Instagram at the moment. So and we're considering the others. So yeah. Follow us on Facebook and X.
Wow, Kristen, you just made it sound so cool.
Yeah.
We're boycotting.
It's totally them, not us.
They're very problematic, which I think a lot of people know, so we decided to get ahead of it and just shut down our Instagram account.
Many people are saying we don't need Instagram anymore.
Who even uses it, honestly? No one uses it anymore.
Oh. So, Jared, where can they find you?
You can find me on X at Jared B. Callen.
And Greg's, where can they find Hold up, give me a minute. And Greg's, where can they find you?
Well, I'm still on Instagram at Greg's Team. God damn it, I can't. Okay. Well, I'm still on Instagram at Greg's Team Media. That's GRIGGSY Media.
God damn it, I got myself so tickled.
Why is this the thing? What the fuck?
Ooh, sorry. And Kristen, where can they find you?
Well, for the moment, I still have a personal Instagram account, so you can find me at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
It's so funny, Greg, because you just got to do that boycott thing, and I'm just waiting for everybody to go through their handles, and it's just killing me.
It's perfect.
We're going to have to figure something else out. I don't know. Just email us all the time, you know?
And for the meantime, I'm on X at Elkins Edits. Oh. And, you know, I don't think we're going to do music either. You know, who knows? We got to be careful with copyright infringement. So we're just going to bid you adieu.